listen to the Jason Greger Show presented by PlayAlberta.ca. Remember, if you gamble, use your game sense. Stay within your limits. Go to gamesense.ab.ca. Joined us, Thomas. Welcome back to the show, my man. How you doing?
Oh, I'm doing great, guys. This is the best time of the year for people like me. It was a hectic day, not going to lie, with all the trades that came in. It felt like if there was 50 made, it felt like half of them came in right as yes. the 6 p.m. Eastern deadline came, which, you know, certainly makes for a crazy hectic time. But yeah, no, I'm happy to join you guys and chat some Jays, man.
What did you make of the Jays? I guess let's start with the Shane Bieber trade. Really hadn't been talked about anywhere, and I understand why. The guy hasn't pitched in the majors barely in the last 2 years due to Tommy John surgery, and he just had a rehab assignment, double A, 4 innings 2 days ago. What do you make of that deal?
So it's an interesting one. It certainly addresses a need for the Blue Jays. They definitely needed to add a little bit more starting pitching depth to their roster. Ideally, it would have came in a frontline starter, but there just was very few of those even available. Nobody really even got traded of that type of caliber this year's deadline. So getting a guy like Shane Bieber, who does have a lot of injury concerns with a guy that's coming off Tommy John surgery, but pre-Tommy John, he was an all-star pitcher, a Cy Young Award winner, a front-of-the-line starter. And granted, that was a few years ago, and you gave up a lot in Cal Steven to risk having him on your team and giving yourself a chance to see if he can get back to that level. But at the same time, you also bring in a guy who's a veteran, has been to the postseason before, should gel really well with the veteran staff that the Blue Jays have. And when he is ready, whenever that ends up being, it seems like that'll probably be around mid-August. At that point, you'll have the option to give some guys a little bit of a break. Maybe in September you go to a six-man rotation when you don't have to worry about running an arm short in the bullpen to go with six starters. But overall, when you look at the Bieber acquisition, if it hits and if he gets back to the level he was pre-Tommy John, this is now somebody who could start potentially game one of a playoff series for the Blue Jays. And ultimately, that's the type of upside they were looking to acquire from the starting pitching perspective at this year's deadline.
And he does have 1 year left, right? There's an option on his deal for the Jays. Is that right?
So it is a player option, but most likely he's going to decline that if he does look really good with the Jays. It has a $4 million buyout, and the option totals were $16 million. So it's really just a matter of, can he get that $12 million difference in free agency? And if he's healthy and looks like the guy he was pre-Tommy John, he's probably going to get that number. But this could also be a scenario where the Blue Jays are able to lay some groundwork and potentially bring him back right after this season, too.
Yeah, well, that's like part of me feels like, you know, this trade is one that isn't maybe just for a one-year rental.
Right. No. Exactly.
Okay.
And if things really work out, then that would be a great scenario for the Blue Jays, because he's still 30 years old. He won't turn 31 until next May. And with the way the Blue Jays rotation is constructed here, it could look a lot different in a couple of years. And if Bieber gets back to the Cy Young caliber pitcher he was, and you can work out a long-term deal with him like they did with Jose Berríos in 2021. We also saw the Blue Jays trade for Robbie Ray in 2020 and then bring him back during the ensuing offseason. And if they're able to do that with Bieber, this then gives you more foundation moving forward to build from in your starting rotation.
The other deals, let's start. We knew they had to improve their bullpen. I really like the Dominguez trade, for sure, especially when you look at what other teams had to give up afterwards for other relievers. And then what did you make of the deal with the Twins?
Yeah. So, like you said, the prices for relievers this year were just insane. They were out of control, especially guys who had control beyond this season. And luckily, the Blue Jays were able to dip into that market too, because getting Louis Varland from the Minnesota Twins is a really strong add for this bullpen. He's somebody that, adds another element of high velocity to their bullpen, as does Sir Anthony Dominguez. But he's also somebody who profiles well against both righties and lefties. That's an area the Blue Jays were looking to address with their bullpen, because right now they have Brendan Little as their primary lefty. Mason Fluharty has looked really good at times this season, but ideally, especially in a playoff series, you'd like to be able to go to another guy who could get lefties out in a key spot, and Louis Varland is definitely that guy with his fastball and knuckle curve combo. It plays really well against both sets of hitters, and he also is somebody who induces a lot of ground balls too. So he's not somebody who typically generates crazy amounts of swing and miss and strikeouts, but for somebody who minimizes as many fly balls as he does, induces a fair amount of soft contact, and limits walks too, this was a really good ad for the Blue Jays, and somebody who will be part of their bullpen for many seasons beyond this year as well, because he has club control through 2030.
Yeah, that was the other part of it. Like, they, to me, that's the best part of that trade, is you're getting someone that you feel, and I know the relief pitchers from year to year can look drastically different, because it's still really kind of a small sample size each year of what they're pitching. But it clearly looked like that's a trade that, as much as it was to help now, it's one that helps them for the next few seasons.
Yeah, without a doubt. He is now part of their bullpen core moving forward, somebody that you can count on year to year to be next to Jeff Hoffman, Jimmy Garcia, Brendan Little. That part of the bullpen, you know, is going to be put in place for multiple seasons beyond this year. And, you know, that comes with the price of giving up a package of Kendry Rojas and Alan Roden, which are two really good young prospects with the Blue Jays. But to be able to add a shutdown arm like this at the back end of the bullpen is so priceless. And we saw the trend this year where almost every contender was loading up on bullpen arms at this year's deadline. And for the Blue Jays to be able to jump in on that as well, it certainly bodes well for their chances of being able to go on a deep run.
Talking all things Blue Jays, Thomas Hall from Blue Jays Nation joins us. What did you make of the acquisition of catcher Brandon Valenzuela and giving up young Will Wagner?
Yeah, it certainly caught me by surprise a little bit. Not that the Blue Jays acquired a catcher, because that's an area of their farm system that has gotten really thin over the past number of years, really ever since they traded Gabby Moreno and ultimately traded Danny Jansen last year too. And so to be able to add a guy like him, who now, according to Ross Atkins, is going to go straight to AAA after spending this season at AA in Minnesota's organization, it's a really important addition for this team, because now you're going into next season knowing that Alejandro Kirk is your starter, but you also have a little bit more depth in AAA, at AA as well, with Jacob Sharp. Edward Huron is also a high riser in the Blue Jays system. So now this adds more of a safety net if you run into any sort of injury concerns like the Blue Jays are currently with Alejandro Kirk currently on the 7-day IL. So giving up Will Wagner was the interesting part of it, because he's somebody that obviously came over from the Yusei Kikuchi deal last season and really took off coming over from the deal. And he's somebody the organization really spoke highly of after the trade, and somebody that unfortunately kind of lost his position with this team following the trade of Andreas Giménez, that really put Wagner in a bit of a logjam, because he only really plays first base, second base, and a little bit of third. And those are all positions the Blue Jays currently have covered. And on top of that, they were facing a roster crunch with their 40-man, especially after the Louis Varland trade and Ty France element of that as well. And so they needed to create a little bit of space for them to bring in these new guys.
Okay.
And Will Wagner was somebody that they just really didn't have room for anymore. He ultimately just became the odd man out sort of thing. And, you know, you hope he does well in San Diego and is able to get a little bit more playing time. But, you know, he's certainly someone that the Blue Jays organization is definitely going to miss.
One last one. When you look at all the teams and you've had a chance to see all the trades, is there a team that you feel significantly improved and say, okay, because I don't think before today there was a, this is a favorite. So do you think there's a favorite now, or did a lot of good teams improve in different areas and there's still no favorite?
Yeah, it's hard to say because, the American League definitely got better today. The Astros, the Mariners, even the Texas Rangers, what they did, all three of those teams got a lot better and have made that AL West division way more competitive than it was, say, 3 weeks ago. And the Houston Astros are now a team that look pretty scary, especially if Jeremy Peña comes back off the IL and looks as good as he did before he got hurt.
Mm-hmm.
The offensive additions that the Seattle Mariners made, bringing in Josh Naylor and Eugenio Suarez to go along with their outstanding pitching staff. And then the Yankees really beefed up their bullpen. And they're still a team that has a lot of flaws. But I think if you're looking for a favorite just on the whole landscape of the MLB, I still probably say the Brewers, the Dodgers, the Padres certainly made waves, and they're looking like a team that is fully stacked on the pitching side of things. But I still think this thing is really wide open. It's there for the taking. And for the Blue Jays, that's exactly the type of thing that you want to see coming out of the trade deadline.
Man, we really appreciate it as always. Thomas, thanks so much for this. Enjoy a little downtime and maybe go boil and barbecue a hot dog.
Of course. Thanks for having me on, guys. I'll try and catch some of the Chargers preseason game tonight, but it's going to be a lot of baseball coverage.
Basically, you're telling me if you want to have a nap, that's what you're going to do. No, I'm kidding.
Probably. that might be the plan, yeah.